There is nothing and no one that compares with you. We surrender our lives to you. We say, take this life of ours and make good of it for your glory and your honor and for the benefit of mankind everywhere. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, O God, for your word to us tonight. Unveil, unpackage this word. So, Lord, O God, that we are forever transformed. Let something heard tonight change everything that is not right in our lives. So, Lord, O God, that we are more this day like you than we were days before. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God for grace and for mercy. And for those that are here tonight, thank God for the week of, well, I guess there were several days of meetings that culminated in 8 days of 8 days of glory, and for everything that God did for us during those days. And thank God for those that are here. No one is here by accident. I want to celebrate our two brothers that are here today for the first time. Praise God. Matthew, the 18th chapter, or rather the 17th chapter, that's where we are. We're studying through the book of Matthew, and now we are in the 17th chapter of this book. It says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. Now, this particular verse states very clearly, in practical terms, that after 6 days, Jesus did something. When we consider statements from the Word of God, something that must be triggered in our spirit is why the Lord elected to inspire the disciples to mention that it was after 6 days. It could just have been, and Jesus taketh Peter. It says, and after 6 days. Now let's look closely to that word six. And what we do understand from six is that six is the number of man. It's not a bad number. It's the number of man. God created man on the sixth day. So it's not a bad number. But it represents that which is natural. That which is natural. So when we talk about the Antichrist, we talk about the number 666, which is totally human. So when the Word of God says, and after 6 days, it is making a statement and saying to us, after the natural, there was a shift into a supernatural. Amen? And we are going to see that in this particular passage, that there was a shift from the natural to a supernatural realm. So here he takes with him Peter, James, and John. Why does he take Peter, James, and John? Now, a clue to that we'll find in the Gospel of Luke, the 5th chapter, where the word partner is used twice. First word partner is the word metokos, which is somebody who comes to a situation, a partnership, for what they can get. And after they've gotten it, they will leave you to do whatever else they want to do. But the other word that is used, which is in reference to Peter, James, and John, is the word koinonia, which is a word for fellowship, oneness, that we are in partnership together through thick and thin. And in Luke 5, the Bible tells us that Jesus called Peter. He didn't call James, he didn't call John. But he called Peter. He says, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And James and John left their fish, all the catch of fish they had, and said, if you take in our partner, if you call in our partner, we come in too. You cannot separate us. So they came along. And from that moment, the story about these three was always Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John. That is, and why is he talking about this now? Because they represent unity. They represent oneness. They represent people that are focused, that are in rhythm together. They're following the same beat. And therefore, God can use them. So he takes these three that are in harmony. They're together. They are inseparable. He takes them with him and they go up. He takes them up into an high mountain. And there again, we see this statement. He takes them up into an high mountain. Why doesn't he just say he take them up into a mountain apart? It specifies it's a high mountain, because the idea is this, that God is taking them past the natural levels that other people are used to. He's taking them higher into an area where natural oxygen becomes very thin. You have to depend on another level of assistance. When you go up a very high mountain, you need extra oxygen. You need something extra because the air is thin. In essence, the Lord is taking them to a level where they cannot depend on what is natural. They cannot depend on what is natural anymore. They have to depend on what is supernatural to give them air, to give them life, to sustain them. And that is the picture that the Lord is communicating with us here in that very first verse. It's a lead to what is going to happen in this particular chapter, that you cannot depend on what you normally know. Because what you normally know isn't going to cut the mustard here. So you take them up onto an high mountain apart. Apart. Separated them. Amen? When we want to move in the realm of the supernatural, we have to be separated from what is natural. You cannot continue the same old way. Even as the Lord is speaking to us and telling us that these are the days of the manifestation of his glory, we cannot depend on what we used to know, the verses that we used to know, the way we used to pray, the way we used to study, the way we used to preach, the way we used to do anything. Now it's a totally different level. As the word of God says in Job 28, I'm going to take you to a realm where the birds do not know, where the vultures have not heard, where the lions and the young lions have not reached. I want to take you to a place where you experience wisdom and understanding in such a dimension that nobody in the earth realm, in the natural realm, understands. I'm going to take you to another dimension. God is calling us to another dimension. We cannot play church or do church or grow in the way that we thought in the past. This got to be different. Praise the Lord. He says, and there, up on this high mountain apart, he says, and was transfigured before them. Metamorpho. He changed. He changed from the natural to his real essence. And it is only going to happen in this high mountain range. If we're going to know Jesus, the real Jesus, not the natural Jesus, but see Jesus as he is and be changed to the same image, then we've got to go up this high mountain where we have no dependence on what we know, what is natural, but delve into the realm of the supernatural. But a strange thing is that when you go to this level, there is always a temptation to bring the natural with you. And the Lord is going to address that. He says, Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. The sun is natural, but the sun is, while it is natural, it is not natural to touch it. It is not natural to look at it. You stare at the sun, you'll be blind. So for them to be able to see his face shining, not like the moon, but like the sun. The moon you can look at and get away with it. No matter how bright it is, you can look at it and get away with it. The sun you cannot. So for them to be able to behold him, see his face shine as the sun, means that something had already started changing inside of them, moving them and clicking them from the realm of the natural to the realm of the supernatural. Because the word of God says, in that light shall we see light. So he's shifting them to another realm where they're able to behold the sun. And he says, and his raiment was white as the light. So even the natural garment that was wearing is transformed. And they now see him. He's wearing light. That's the real him. These men are looking at this. He says, just then, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, representing the law and the prophets. They appeared with him. Now, Moses is long dead. He's the one that God used to get the Israelites out of the house of bondage, leading them to the promised land, even though he did not get there. And the reason he did not get there was because he allowed the natural to capture him, and he faltered. And Elias was the one that was caught up, and from him, Elisha was able to receive the double portion anointing. He did not die in the natural realm. He is a lead prophet, and we are going to find out that Elias, or Elijah, is possibly the greatest prophet that ever lived, in the sense that same anointing is transferred into the life of John the Baptist, who is the forerunner of the Lord's ministry here on the earth. Then verse 4 says, then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. It is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, 3 dwelling places. One for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. Now, Moses and Elijah represent the old system, the power of God as it was. And here God comes in and says, no, we're not doing it the way we used to. And by the way, Jesus revealed is not in the same level with these guys. Amen? While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. A bright cloud overshadowed them. Now, this bright cloud, Nephele cloud, is akin to the cloud that led the Israelites through the wilderness by day and by night. Amen? All right? So that's the same cloud. It comes and it says it overshadowed them. Remember, Peter is saying, let's make three tabernacles. God says, absolutely not. And what does God do? He overshadows them. In other words, he builds one tabernacle. And that one tabernacle is the tabernacle from whence he spoke and says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. There's only one tabernacle. It's not Moses. It's not Elijah. It's going to be Jesus transfigured. Supernatural. Hallelujah. And this is where we need to go. We need to come to the place where we are not relying on, let me put it this way, relying on the historical Jesus as a historical figure, but moving past that place to say, Lord, reveal yourself as you are to me now. Because when we finally see him, we shall be as he is. Amen? We're being changed from glory to glory. And so we cannot drag our old system along with us and say, well, this is how we do it. And we've always done it like this. We've always prayed it like this. We've always preached it like this. We've always taught it like this. None of that. We've got to go past what we used to know to saying, Lord, what are you saying? In the natural realm, things are changing. If I were to go home now and I look through some of my old stuff that I kept away, there's a good chance I might find an old phone. And those old phones, before we had push-button phones, we had phones that you stick your finger in between holes, and then you wrap it around. 9, 0, 5. Now, try to use that same phone. We call them land phones. Try to use that same phone and be driving with it. It won't work. Then I remember it so well. It's just a few years ago. Just a few years ago. You know, if you want to move your phone from one room to the other, you have an extension cord, and you attach one cord to the other, and then you pull. Oh, my. Can you imagine trying to do that same thing and accomplish anything today? Then when cell phones first came out, they were huge things, very big, incredible. And if you had a phone in your car, oh my, have you ever arrived? Wow. You had a special car. It has a phone in it. You paid an arm and a leg to get that. And today, I have a cell phone that will do what all the computers attached together 20 years ago could do, and I have it in some little small thing. But here we are, believers. We still stuck to old ways, old systems. We've always done it like this. We've always preached it like this. There's nothing wrong. The word of God is the same yesterday and forever. There's nothing. There's no way to modernize the word of God. But what I'm trying to say is that there are deeper dimensions in that word, and we need to continue to grow. We need to go higher and higher and higher. And in doing so, we'll get to know more about how God wants us to handle things today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is on the move, just like the cloud was on the move. And we need to move with him. So he told this cloud overshadowed them. And it says, and behold, a voice out of the cloud. A voice came out of the cloud, out of the Nephilim. And what does it say? It says, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. In Mark, I think it is Mark chapter 9. I'll come back to Matthew 6. Mark 9. In Mark 9, this same passage is restated. Let me take it from verse 3. It says, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow. So no fuller, no bleach on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, for he wist not what to say. He didn't know what to say, for they were so afraid. You know, Mark tells us more, gives us more details. He just starts shooting his mouth off. And that's what we do. It's so easy to do that when you're overwhelmed with what you're saying. You just shoot your mouth off. Let's do this. Because he was afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. And the next verse says, and suddenly, when they had looked round about, they saw no man anymore. They saw no man anymore. Save Jesus only with themselves. They didn't see anybody else. Just Jesus and themselves. Hallelujah. That is powerful. And that's what God wants to do with us. To strip away any other thing that will try to compete with Jesus. No competition. The pastor cannot be a competition. The deacon, elder, the prophet, the apostle, the bishop, the pope, whoever it is, they cannot be in the same level. Only Jesus. Amen? You see Jesus, and then he says, only with themselves. Now, what is that? Only Jesus with themselves. Now, the idea is this, that what God wants to do is for, just like it says in the book of 2 Corinthians 4, about God commanding light out of darkness and bringing about the revelation of who Christ is, bringing the light of his glory and revealing who Christ is in us, that this has to happen. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, had shined in our hearts. Why? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. The glory of God. Where? In the face of Jesus Christ. They beheld the face of Jesus Christ. And what are they seeing? The glory of God. And where is this glory of God being revealed? In them. Had shined that light in our hearts. So when they did not see any man but Jesus and themselves, what they saw was they saw the glory of Jesus manifested in them. Because this is what is going to happen. Hallelujah. They're going to see the revelation of Jesus in themselves, and the revelation of Jesus in them is what's going to cause them to begin to move. Any wonder that when Jesus was risen from the dead and was gone, that Peter was walking and they were putting people on his side so that even his shadow, glory be to God, the shadow of the glory of God, that glory that was upon him will begin to shine on those people and they will receive their healing. This is a supernatural realm that God is calling us to. We cannot remain the same. We've got to experience the awesomeness of God and move into another dimension, another authority in the power of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Matthew 17. The Bible says, God said to them, hear ye him. Listen to him. Hear him. When we hear him, what is happening? When we hear him, we hear in the word. Jesus is the word of God. And faith comes by hearing. So when God says, hear ye him, he's saying, receive faith. Receive faith. I release, because when you hear him, you receive faith. What kind of faith? Faith that causes you to go through whatever the enemy places in your pathway, and you know that 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 the victory is yours and that you cannot be victimized, that the goodness of God is revealed in your life and that God has authorized you to live victoriously. Hear him. Faith arises in your soul and you walk in that victory. He says here, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were so afraid. They fell on their faces. When they heard what? This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Boom. Wait. Peter just said, thou art the Christ, in chapter 16, the Son of the living God. What about that statement from God caused them to fall down? Did he not believe what he said before? Flesh and blood had not revealed this unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven, had revealed this truth to you. Why is he falling on his face, scared, weakless? Because the first time he heard God, he heard it quietly in his spirit. Oh my God. Mama Shakalaba. Oh, we are coming into the days that we are not just going to hear God in our spirit, but we are going to hear God loud and clear. Michael, my son. Hallelujah. You're going to hear the voice of God loud and clear. Now, with your spiritual ears and with your natural ears, every part of you will hear the vibration of the word of God, and that will cause you to fall flat on your face, because this is another realm. It's another realm, not just a realm of revelation. I received a revelation, but I heard the voice of God. And when you hear the voice of God, oh my, what else can you do but drop and say, well, I used to believe, but now I know. I used to believe, but now I know, because I just heard the voice of God. I just heard the voice of God. What do you mean you heard the voice of God? You mean like in your spirit, like you just a thought? No, I heard the voice of God. Wait, what are you talking about? I said, I heard the voice of God. That's what happened to them. They heard the voice of God. I don't know how that voice came, but it came. It came out of that cloud of glory. The cloud of glory. The voice of God came out of glory. Oh my God, it came out of glory, and it penetrated their being, and it shook them to the core, that they fell flat on their face. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. It's okay. My papa just talked. Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. Don't be scared. And then it says, and when they had lifted up their eyes, oh, this phrase is a powerful phrase. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Now we know why they saw no man except Jesus. They lifted up their eyes. In other words, they lifted up their eyes and saw from God's perspective. This is not like, oh, okay, we see no man. No, this is going into another realm, seeing into another realm. And when they saw into that realm, they didn't see man anymore. They didn't see man anymore. What men looked like, whether they were frowning or not frowning, it didn't matter. Whether they were rich or poor, it didn't matter. Whether they were strong or weak, it did not matter. Nothing mattered anymore. What mattered was Jesus only. That's a shift. Where you move from the natural realm and you begin to see into the realm of the spirit. And you see Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. My faith is not based on what I see in the natural. My faith is based on seeing him as he is. So am I in this world. Hallelujah. My time is almost up, but it is proper that I go to the next few verses, because, and the reason I want to go to this next few verses is because there's a spiritual law. The spiritual law is this, that after every victory, there is the challenge of the valley. This is the high and low. And it is the rhythm of life. The rhythm of life. If you flatline, you're dead. If you're alive, there is always this. Boop, 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 boop. They've just had a high experience. And what's going to happen now, they come to the valley and they come to a low state. What was low about this state? Let me just read through it quickly to summarize it, and then hopefully next week we can go deeper. He says, and as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man. Now, this word here, horoma, vision, is a supernatural insight. Okay, it's not natural vision. It's supernatural. It's seen into the realm of the spirit. He says, don't tell anyone until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Don't tell anyone about this supernatural experience that you just saw until I rise again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, wait a minute. Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. I'm going to make more comment on this next week, but there's somewhere I want to go just to read into. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and so vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. Fire and water, two extremes. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Amen? Now, let's go to Mark 9. Because I want you to see the full situation. In Mark 9, Mark tells us about this particular situation. And Mark 9, it says here, and when he came to his disciples, verse 14, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the disciples, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered, said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which had a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I speak to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore him. The spirit. Now, Matthew leaves out some of the details. Mark gives us the details of what happened. Because this that is happening here is not normal. Normally, when demons saw Jesus, they cried out, why have you come to torment us before our time? Now, he just had a transfiguration, a revelation of his glory, who he really is, and the devil is there to challenge him. You see? So you think you're that anointed, huh? You think you're that glorious, huh? Okay, I'm going to mess up with this kid right here, right now. What can you do about it? I messed up with your disciples and they couldn't do anything about it, and you think you're going to mess with me? And so he starts cheering this child, and he fell to the ground and wallowed, foaming. And 21, he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes they cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And then says, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And watch the next verse. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. That is a challenge. When God brings you to another dimension, there is always a devil that will try to challenge the authority of God that you are operating in. But Jesus did not waver. He knew he was in charge. That demonic spirit was not in control, no matter how much he tried. And when you move in the grace of God, understand that there are going to be challenges, but God has made you more than a conqueror. Amen? So I'm glad, about this next minute. Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. He was in control. You're not dead. Everybody else might be saying, you're dead, but here, come on, baby. He was still in control. And he is in control in my life and in your life. And God has made you and I more than conquerors. Amen? So today I just want to encourage you to take a hold of the word of God and recognize that God, who is shifting us to another dimension in him, it will always equip us to fulfill his divine mandate. We are greater than we think. For the greater one lives in us. Amen? Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the grace that we have in you and for the word of truth that you've established in our spirits. Lord, we cleave unto you. You are the author and the finish of our faith. Take us up this high mountain and reveal your true person, your real essence to us. Father, may we hear you in another dimension, experience you in other ways. We know, God, that there is so much more that you want to do with your people. Lord, oh God, we are your people. We are your sons. We are your children. Reveal yourself to us and transform in us. Cause us, O God, to be agents of transformation. May we behold a transfigured Jesus, and may our lives forever be changed because of it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for his grace and his mercy. I bless those of you watching online. May the hand of God rest upon you. May you know peace which passes all understanding. This Friday, we'll meet here at 7 o'clock for our prayer service. And then, of course, on Sunday morning and Sunday evening, the word of God is going to come forth from this house. Wherever you are, whether you're here in Canada or in the United States or in Africa or in Asia, I want you to know God is with you, and miracles are released even now into your life. Receive it and enjoy the fullness of the Lord. Bless God with your giving tonight, and may peace garrison your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you and good night. Amen.